arvs.org.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m., currently 74 degrees and rain here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Another 60% chance of rain going happening throughout the afternoon, going down to a 20% chance overnight with a low of 75 degrees, a 50% chance expected for Thursday. Coming up at 4 o'clock, All Things Considered from NPR News. To begin the hour, we head straight into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon, I'm very honored to say, our Dr. David Ali. He is, you wear many, many hats, but you are the founder of the CLI and Limb Salvage Club, which is now based here at the university. You all meet in the student union. There will be an event this evening. It starts at 5:30, and you're going to have some pretty amazing speakers who will be coming to the event, and we're going to be honoring Dr. Ray Audemars tonight. And that leads us to my next guest, Dr. Steve Landry, who is Provost Emeritus here at UL Lafayette, and he will be talking about Dr. Audemars, who was his friend and colleague for so many years here at the university, continues to be a friend, and we're going to talk about his long legacy and his impact on the greater community here in Lafayette. I think we're going to start off talking about the club itself, Dr. Ali. It is a pretty amazing organization that has grown. Tell us what CLI and Limb Salvage is and why you felt there was the need to create an organization like this.
Well, Judith, thank you again for having me on. The term CLI stands for critical limb ischemia. And I'll get in fancy. That means when a blood flow is not good enough to a leg and the leg or the foot is at jeopardy of limb loss. This is a medical condition that is prevalent and increasing in its scope worldwide. And it is basically what I have concentrated really a 35-year career in medicine. And this is what I focus on. From the standpoint of education, on and off, I've been involved with various ways to educate our colleagues and our communities through the years. And I was a little off on my education the last decade or so. And as I refocused for 2019, I wanted to bring back a community awareness with centering on critical limb ischemia as the main medical thread. Yet I wanted that thread to be a little more encompassing in the community because healthcare is so important here. And we have so many things, quite honestly, in Lafayette and Acadiana that are national and regionally known in the healthcare and other aspects of education, that I had the idea to start a local club, and I started this in February, in which through the contacts that I had, I created a nonprofit foundation, and that is what the CLI Club is, and we began to have monthly events. My goal was to have several speakers that would visit the area. I would invite a whole community of health caregivers and non-health caregivers to begin with, and to see if this proof of concept would come about. I had not done any local education in about a decade. And then when we started this, I found that healthcare has changed. We have a different way of doing things with nurse practitioners, with rural health care. And so I found the community that I had taught 20 years ago to be different. And so I found a place for something new and a whole new, quite frankly, generation who needed, in my opinion, to be educated on this condition of critical limb ischemia and vascular diseases. We have an older patient population. So we started. And it started rather small, and each month it began to grow. And as it grew, we had as many as 100 to 200 attendees, up to 500 or 600 attendees on a monthly basis, and we began to grow. And my proof of concept seemed to be working as we got more and more people involved. And as we grew, I needed to have larger places to have. It started to become obvious to me that this was of interest. And I moved to the university. And we needed, number one, the capacity. And it dawned on me at that time, as things became successful, that I needed to reconnect with the university. And it brought back a lot of memories that go back as far as 25 years ago with specifically Dr. Audemont and things that we had done together in the past that had been successful. We had been tied in very strongly with the nursing programs here. And so it became obvious to me that I needed to have the university involved again. And I believe that the university needed this, and we hadn't done this in quite a while together. And so as we grew, I also began to see that we had a lot of very good and accomplished people in our own area, leaders nationwide. We had done conferences before in which we recognized with Lifetime Achievement Award winners many of the national leaders, including the inventor of the stent and things like that. And it dawned upon me as we had quite accomplished people in our own community. And this club, I wanted to be a community event. And so we began to choose an honoree each time. And this was started a couple of months ago right here with Dr. Ernest Kinchin and Dr. Larry Harkless, who visited us. And it became obvious to me that as we joined the university, that the biggest giant in this area has been Dr. Ray Audemont. And I have had personal relationship with him that goes back to 25 to 30 years. And there is no one better to honor at this time during our event than all the things that Dr. Audemont has done for this community. The healthcare thread is my main thread. But as we get into this, he has been a leader in many, many fields. And quite frankly, everything we're doing in this community can be traced back to things over a 34-year period of time that Dr. Audemont has done. And here we are today. So this club has a medical background with a community awareness. We are now going to be working more with the university, with research, with things together. And here we are today, and I'm happy that we'll be able to honor Dr. Audemont this evening.
Well, I think our audience is getting a sense of just how inclusive your vision is for this club and who it involves, who it touches, and that education is very much a part of it. I do remember Dr. Harkless coming and talking about not only his profession, but the fact that he had been dean of so many podiatry schools and really elevated that field of study, and so that it's not just important to have the business of medicine, but you need to have the university and the research facilities that are supporting those people who will become the doctors, the nurses, the community practitioners. So you really have a mind to bring in speakers like that and to honor people who are the educators as well. So a pretty amazing vision for this club. It meets once a month, I believe, more or less, and you have speakers each month. Tonight it starts at 5:30. I believe you can join the club tonight if you want to, if you have time.
Absolutely. If you're in this community, you can be a part of this club.
All right. So we're going to talk about some of the other speakers at the end, but we are here to talk about Dr. Audemont. He will be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. As you mentioned, you have worked with Dr. Audemont decades past, and he certainly has been so present in promoting many of our departments on campus, one that was near and dear to Dr. Landry's heart, of course, the whole computer science program. But the medical field was very important to him as well. So he had a really broad vision for the university. We're glad to have you back on campus, Provost Emeritus, the first provost here at the university. You worked with Dr. Audemont for many years. You didn't have him as a teacher, but he was a colleague for many years. Tell us your first impressions of Dr. Audemont. You know, before we went on the air, we were talking about how important it is to remind people of where we've been, of the just how much certain personalities like Dr. Audemont have impacted our community. And it's good to remind ourselves where we've been. So what was it about Dr. Audemont that really impressed you when you first began working with him?
Well, let me start by saying I think it's incredibly fitting that this award from this community be awarded to him, and particularly in the context of a lifetime achievement, because throughout his entire life, the man was phenomenal. My beginning insights about Dr. Audemont started when I was working for IBM in Baton Rouge in the late 60s, early 70s, and I began to hear things about the university here and its computer science program. And it was the PhD program that had been created here and his leadership and vision for it that attracted me to come in 1971 as a graduate student teaching, just getting to know Dr. Odomoff from a distance, but incredibly impressed with the community on the campus and the impact that the university was already making in the community of Lafayette. Through the 37 years that I worked with him, not always directly, but for more than 20 years directly under his leadership, I was continuously impressed with the man's phenomenal intellect, his self-discipline, his vision for the university. He knew the kind of university he wanted to create, and he knew what impact it would have on this community. And he was relentless, even with historical levels of recurring budget cuts. He was not to be deterred. I saw him make some incredibly courageous decisions, decisions that would cost him personally, not financially necessarily, but with long-term commitment to a project. In an instant, he would know this was a good thing for us to do as a university, so let's go forward with it. The other side of that, you know, is compassion. I saw over and over again where he had a compassionate hand to help people on the university. So that combination is pretty unique.
It's extraordinary. And he also had the vision to gather people like yourself, but also to work with Dr. James Oliver. You spoke about him in a previous interview. People who could help him in his relentless vision to create a program, to improve the university's standing in the community, in the nation. We spoke about the amazing computer science program the last time you were here. And I guess I just need to remind people that we had one of the top 10 computers in the country when you all first started that, and in large part because of Dr. Odomoff. He wasn't president at that time, but he was certainly a part of that effort and vision even early on. So it was not only his vision, but he knew that he had to gather people around him, and part of that was his intellect, but compassion as well, knowing just how to work with people, and people always felt that from him as well. So in addition to the computer science program, the medical program was very important to him as well. We had one of the best pre-med programs in the state. I think we still do. The nursing program has a PhD program. So do you remember him talking about that, about being a player and being a part of that that education system that helped our medical community?
I think that one of the things that impressed me the most about Dr. Odomoff is that he was very strategic. He understood the importance of biology, and not only biology in general, but specific biology as it related to the coast. He understood the importance of the growing medical hub that Lafayette was becoming and the importance of having a strong nursing and pre-med program. So he strategically invested in programs that would pay high dividends on the front end. I saw more than once accreditation teams with visitors from around the country come here to assess our programs, and in the exit interview, they were reaping so much praise simply because they did not expect to find the quality of faculty, of students, and of resources that he was providing to these key programs being accredited. So it was not only our own community cheering him on, but it was the outside validation that affirmed for those of us that were working around him, he's doing some really good things.
Absolutely. I mean, you would hear that, you know, the students in pre-med and biology and chemistry had higher percentage acceptance rates at medical schools, that the nursing college was one of the top 10 in the country at one point. So there was something very strategic and, as you say, relentless in his desire to create those programs once they became an important project to him. So that was pretty amazing. There's going to be a video shown tonight at the CLI Club that goes back over some of his achievements, but it also gives a real sense of the man. And in addition to talking about his vision, that seems to be very important to you, the kind of person, the kind of character that Dr. Odomoff had. And I think that struck most everybody who interacted with him. In fact, you have a smile on your face right now as you're thinking back to him. And I find that as well. If I mention Dr. Odomoff's name on campus, people who worked under him, they just get this warmth depth and memory of his commitment to the community, whether it was the students, the faculty, or staff here on this campus.
Yeah, he was so respected that among 900 to 1,000 PhDs on campus all the time, if somebody said the word doc, they never assumed it was anybody else but Dr. Otomah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it was because it was difficult to say his name for most people, but it was incredibly universal that if anyone said, Doc said, they knew it was Dr. Otomah who said, not necessarily any other doctor.
You know, I've heard from more than one professor, people who've received distinguished professor awards, that when they came here to interview, they didn't think they were going to come here, that they had offers from, you know, name a big university, and they had offers from those universities. But their visit here, their meeting with the faculty they might be a part of, meeting with Dr. Otomah, changed their mind completely about their decision. And they often will say, I never thought I would find such a collegial community. And that always comes from the top, doesn't it?
Indeed. Mm-hmm. You know, numerous times faculty would be here and then get a really good offer to go somewhere else. I saw it happen quite a few times. They would go elsewhere for a few years and then find their way back because they missed what they had had here on this campus under his leadership.
Right. So that's a pretty amazing thing. And, you know, sometimes we take things like that for granted. Mm. And we just think, oh, that's just the way things are everywhere, aren't they? But they're not. They really take somebody's character, their heart, their vision to create a community like that. And the one thing the video makes a point of is to say that he was, I think, when he retired, he had been the longest serving president of a university in the country.
That's correct.
I think there might have been one since then from Xavier, perhaps, in New Orleans.
Dr. But, Norman Francis had a long tenure.
Right. That is pretty astonishing, mm-hmm. and that you can be in a place for that long, achieve so much, and still retain just that sense of community and connection with all of your faculty, staff, and students. That says a lot about him.
You know, I think there are many instances where you work with someone or within an organization, and over time, your impression of them might diminish. But it was exactly the opposite with Dr. Otomah. The longer you knew the man, the more you worked with him, the more difficult you saw the circumstances, the more you trusted his integrity.
Mm-hmm,
and you could
mm-hmm.
count on him no matter what the situation
right.
to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. One thing I love seeing in the video, and I think some people may know the story, he's from down the bayou from a very small community.
Yes.
And
Boudreaux Canal.
Boudreaux Canal. there's a photo in the video of his little schoolroom. It's like a one-room schoolroom, and I think it did say Boudreaux Canal School. There was a little sign on there. That's pretty astonishing. That must say something about his family and the importance they placed on education as well that he brought to this university.
Yeah, he credits their commitment to their children's education mm-hmm. as a primary part of his pursuing such a career.
Right, right. Now, we were hoping that his grandson might have been able to come today for uh-huh. an interview. I think he was quite busy. Uh-huh. But he is a doctor,
uh-huh.
And I'm sure Dr. Otomah was very proud of him when he became a doctor. So that really shows something about the family and their interest in the medical field. Philip Pruitt.
That's correct.
Dr. Philip Pruitt is his
name.
Yeah,
Philip was an outstanding student when he was here on campus. You could never meet Philip on the campus without him having a big smile, a handsome greeting, and just a really intellectual, positive student, very
mm-hmm.
good leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he's back in the community as well.
Yes, I think the whole family is very glad about that. And family was important to him. You can see that in some of these photos, just how close they are, his wife, his children, grandchildren, I think now great-grandchildren. And he really imparted that to the greater university community also.
Yeah. He and Barbara formed a really unique leadership team. I mean, she supported him all the way. And I think he demonstrated not only loyalty to the university, but loyalty to his family and mm-hmm. his commitment there.
Mm-hmm.
He showed that it's possible to balance a really very difficult career and a good family life as well.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone here on campus really felt that. He also reached out into the community as well, and I think that's one of the reasons that Dr. Ali is giving this award also, because it was important to him that the university be an integral part of the greater Lafayette and Louisiana community. You really felt that. He reached out. He was often at functions. That made a big difference to him, didn't it?
Yes, and I think that when he was awarded the Civic Cup, for me, that was really a crowning distinction as well. It showed not only was he a strong academic leader, but he had provided, as Dr. Ali said earlier, so much to this community in so many dimensions. So I like the fact that time has an incredible wisdom to it. It shows where a legacy makes a long-standing difference. And so the longer we look back and observe what he did, the more that we can really be in awe about it.
Well, and I think that's why we're all grateful that you are giving this Lifetime Achievement Award to Dr. Ray Audemars tonight, because those of us who knew him as a teacher, vice president, president, citizen of this community, really respect that long legacy and are really glad when somebody brings that to the fore. So we're all very grateful that you are giving that award to him tonight. If you are just tuning in and finding yourself charmed and fascinated by what you're hearing, we're talking about Dr. Ray Audemars. My guests are Dr. David Ali, who is the founder of the CLI and Limb Salvage Club. They will be having a meeting tonight on the UL campus in the new student union in the ballroom. And my other guest is Provost Emeritus Dr. Steve Landry, who worked with Dr. Audemars for many decades here at the university, and not only was a colleague, but a friend, and is a friend to this day as well. So we're so glad to have you all here. Anyone listening right now who is thinking, I would really like to honor him, I would really like to attend the club meeting tonight, how can they do that, Dr. Ali?
Well, Judith, they can simply come to the main ballroom. They can sign up and come in. This is a nonprofit organization, and there's a full dinner that is actually there for our attendees tonight. We have speakers. And I would like to add this. In the healthcare field, over the last couple of years, the number one employer in Acadiana is healthcare. It has overcome oil. It is other aspects of community. And this goes back directly to Dr. Audemars. So the groundwork that he started all those years ago in our healthcare and in our entire employment in this community is now due to the healthcare standards that he set. And so I think it's very important. Our economy, everything is tied to our healthcare now, our university, and this is one of the real important things and the reasons that we want to honor him this evening. And anybody listening tonight can come and join and enjoy this video and the special speakers that we have.
Well, I'm glad you're making that point, because he did make it possible for so many young people interested in the medical field to be educated here and to come back. You mentioned his grandson, who's educated here, got his undergraduate degree, and has come back to this community to work. And I can't tell you the number of medical personnel, nurses, people working in hospitals and clinics around this area who have told me that they got their education here at the university, and it made it possible for them to stay around family and to give back to the community. And yes, that was a vision of Dr. Audemars. Educate your people here. Perhaps they'll go away for a while, but they will come back, and the foundation of their education was here at this university. And that means a lot to people when they go to a hospital and there are people from this community who are there. It feels like family, and that's part of his vision too, I think.
And Judith, this evening we will have dozens of the pre-professional students here at the university. We will have the nursing students here also, because we have a legacy going back. They are the people who come and work for the doctors and work for this community. I'd like to also announce next month, on October the 17th, we will be giving the Achievement Award to Dr. Gail Poirier. Dr. Gail, who has retired here, she was our director of nursing for two decades, a personal friend, educator. The standard of nursing in this community is great. We want to focus on the nursing. We've had giants in this community in ambulance service, Richard Zuschlag. We've had giants in emergency room medicine, Dr. Kip Schumacher. We've had Keith and Ginger Myers have the largest healthcare group in this nation. We have many legends in this community, and Dr. Audemars has set the groundwork for us all.
Well, and I hope that everyone who can go tonight will attend to hear him being lauded and honored, and to see the video as a great reminder of his legacy in this community. I'm also thinking your wife worked at the clinic. She was a nurse and worked at the clinic here on campus.
Right. Hmm.
And that was a major part of this university's legacy, too. I mean, I think the initial one started in the 30s, already training and inspiring young medical personnel, and it's grown. The old dining hall became the student health center here on campus.
Right.
So that's it's all woven together, and it is a grand vision, and so many of our wonderful doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals educated and inspired here at this university through the vision of Dr. Ottomal.
And if I may, the research done here. I'm only learning myself exactly what has happened in the last decade. I was involved with the original research in Primate Center many years ago, which maybe had some challenges. But, boy, has that been turned around. And I know now 40 to $50 million worth of pharmaceutical research is done right here in this community with Dr. Ramesh and that group, and they will be a part of this. We hope that these things are going to bring more research to the university that we can bring in our field that's going to share in Lafayette, frankly, become the home of many more research things that hopefully we can facilitate in this area.
Well, again, a great credit to your vision with this club and the inclusiveness of this club, really trying to get all, not just trying to get education credits for doctors, but for everybody to realize what a part they play in the health of this community and giving them an opportunity to learn more. In addition to honoring Dr. Ottomal this evening, who are the speakers going to be tonight?
Well, we had until the last 48 hours, Dr. Richard Neville, who is a world-class speaker, who is a friend of mine and who sits on the Global Society for CLI. He has had a commitment change, and so he'll not be here. But this just gives the level of speakers that we do have. And I'll pinch in it a little bit tonight and see if I can't add some to that. Now, Dr. Trom Hill will also be joining us. Dr. Hill is from Texas, and she is a surgeon and a leader in wound care. She is a business entrepreneur, and she is a leader in her field. So we'll be able to hear about the vascular aspects and the wound care aspects. These are what it takes as a multidisciplinary approach to heal these wounds and save these legs. Our audience will be filled with health care givers from home health to wound care specialists to podiatrists, and frankly, non-health care givers also will be involved. So it's a wide multidisciplinary audience, and anybody can come and join us tonight.
Well, I know how much I learned the last time you all were here with Dr. Harkless. I had no idea of the breadth of the field, and it was fascinating. And so I think anybody who attends, who's interested in the healthcare community here will learn something from the event. And it starts at 5:30, I believe. Dinner is at 6:30, and then you'll be honoring Dr. Ottomal, showing the video, and then you'll have the speakers as well. Yes. Lots of UL students will be attending. Mm-hmm. If there are any UL students or the parents listening right now who think, I think they could get something out of this and be inspired to go into medicine, they are certainly welcome to attend. It is in the ballroom in the UL Student Union. Mm-hmm. And I often think of Dr. Ottomal when I think at the student union because he came in as president, I think, when the older one was built.
Right.
And then his vision, of course, was to get the students to help pay for this new student union.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful union. So it'll be in that union. And again, a credit to your vision as well, Dr. Ali, to bring this club and series of speakers to the university. It will be of great value to all of us, both the faculty and staff and the students as well. Any last words about Dr. Ottomal, just thinking about him as a person and your time with him here and your sense of, I guess if you were talking to somebody who didn't know him, wasn't here at the university, how would you characterize the man?
Wow, what a mentor in many ways. It was just a joy to watch. You know, we'd have our Monday morning council meetings of all the leading administrators, and he was always the last to go as we go around the table, kind of reporting and looking ahead. And we might have an issue that would come up, and we'd have six or eight ideas, and we'd think we would have exhausted all the possibilities. He always had one more idea that was just a little bit better than all the other eight. So it was that kind of mind that we had. You learned a lot about both courage and compassion by just watching him operate.
Mm. Well, I hope a lot of people will learn more about him tonight if they're able to attend. And hopefully that video will be shown in other places, and his legacy will be remembered here in our community. Thank you so much, Dr. Steve Landry. He is Provost Emeritus here at UL Lafayette, and Dr. David Ali, who is the founder of the CLI and Limb Salvage Club, meeting tonight here at UL in the ballroom. It starts at 5:30. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.